Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, and today we are offering you a Billy Brim classic, one that was made years ago in my ministry. I trust it'll bless you.
I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 41 first. We're going to read Jeremiah 16, but go to Isaiah 41. My faith in God is growing by leaps and bounds. God's ability to pull it off. God's ability to straighten it out. Whether it's the world or your son, God will do it. If you have faith in Him. Because He's God. God is God. The greatest, 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 greatest thing I know is God is God. And that illumination came to me in the Soviet Union one day when we were preaching. We had preached one morning. We had gone to an underground church. You know, there are two different kinds of churches in the Soviet Union. There's the church that they let the world see, the registered church, where they tell them what to do. And then there's the underground church. In the underground church, they can preach what they want to preach. They can get as many souls saved as they want to get saved. In the churches that have government registration, it has been in the past that they tell you. We were told once by the church, I think it was in Leningrad. Leningrad is a city of 4.5 million people. The Baptist church, the only Baptist church they allowed to meet there, they allowed them to baptize 16 people. Only baptizing 16 people in a city of 4.5 million is not religious freedom. But they let those registered churches meet so that when diplomats from America came, or people from America, they could take you to the registered church and show you that they had people in churches. And there was a move of God in those churches. You couldn't get away from it. It was real. They couldn't stop it. But we had gone that morning to an underground church. They have underground churches because in the underground churches, they can preach anything they want to. In the registered churches, they would not let you preach that Jesus was coming back again and establish a kingdom on the earth. They didn't want to hear that. But in the underground churches, you can preach it. And so the underground church, we went to the underground church that morning, and they had told us that morning, they said, now when you get up and go outside your hotel, there you're going to find three men who will lead you to the underground church. That's how you'll find it. So we went out on the streets, and there are millions and millions of people out on the streets just everywhere. It's not like it is here. We all in the cars. They're just out milling on the streets. But we see three people, and they're easy to, we didn't know what they looked like, but they were easy to recognize because they were smiling. No one else was smiling. They were smiling. And so we followed the three with smiles in it. And we followed them. We went down. We got on the subway. We rode a long way. Everybody on the subway is just looking straight ahead. What you don't see won't, what you don't know won't hurt you. You know, that's the idea they have over there. No smiles, no smiles. But three were smiling. And I thought, well, they're going to find us out if those guys don't stop that smiling. But they would smile, and then they would go. Now, that meant next stop, you know, something's going to happen. So they would get off the next stop. We would follow them. We changed another subway. Then we got on a train, rode a train a long way. We got off the train. It was snow. We walked in the snow, followed them in the snow, up to a house, an apartment, really. And that place was cram-jammed with people who were waiting for us to bring them the Word of God. Do you think that isn't something to a preacher? And there they said, you know, the tallest man, he was the one, I just loved him. He was real, real tall, and he had the biggest smile. They said, he is not yet born again. He is the brother of one of our sisters here, and he doesn't like how the government treats us, but he's not a Christian. And I thought, oh, dear God, that man has got to be born again. I felt like I couldn't live if he wasn't born again. So I preached how to be born again, and we had about 7 people born again. And that brother was born again. And then I preached how to be baptized the Holy Ghost, and we had about 20 people baptized the Holy Ghost, and he got baptized the Holy Ghost. And I thought I had died and gone to heaven. And when we came down out from those meetings, it seemed like I didn't even need to follow anybody. I didn't even need a train or a subway, it seemed like. And I was just floating in an anointing. An anointing is a dangerous thing sometimes. Because when you come out from under it, you wonder why you did what you did. And I came across there, and I floated that night. And that night we were going to a registered church. It was a registered Pentecostal church, but it was a registered church. And Jim Caseman said, you've got the anointing, you preach. And I did. I just preached my heart out. And I found coming out my mouth the message was, God is God. And I was just marching up and down in that church, up and down the rows, and I would look in their faces and I would say, God is God. And I would say, you know, and then you have an interpreter. But we had a good one, and we knew that what we were saying was getting over. And then I would say, man is not God. God is God. Religion is not God. God is God. Denominations are not God. God is God. And then I said, government is not God. God is God. And it's not God. Democracy is not God.
Amen.
My daughter Brenda, Shelley's sister, said something the other day. She said, Mother, they're forgetting all these nations are trying to get democracy, but democracy is not what made the United States great. What made them great is their foundation on God. And they can, you can't establish a democracy without that and expect it to work. But I said, government is not God. And about that time, I felt a tug on me. And they made me sit down. And Jim Caseman said, they said that it is against the rules to walk. So I had to sit down, and Jim Caseman then preached. And then after it was over, they said, now sing. They think that any visiting people from America are singing group, and they want you to sing. What's another opportunity to minister? So we had only five, and of all of us, I was the best singer. You know we were not a singing group. And Jim Caseman, he can't even carry a tune in a bucket. No way. So he said, you get up. You know, you lead the singing. We'll sing with you. So those four stood up there. And I forgot every song I knew in the whole world except Walking in the Light, which is a little song we learned from the Zulu Christians. And it just goes, walking in the light of God. And I started walking in the light of God, walking in the light. And I looked at Jim Caseman, his eyes, they were this big. But I had an anointing. It's like you're drunk. It's like nothing matters. You don't even think of the consequences of anything. And Jim said he could not believe I was singing that song. And they made me sit down again. But when I walked out the back door, little Russian people would come up to me and they would say, Bogue is Bogue. Bogue is Bogue. One after the other. Bogue is Bogue. And they believed it too. And they didn't care that they were captive to the most terrible government that's been on the earth since I've been alive. But we've watched that government lose its power because Bogue is Bogue. And he's God in this hour. And he made it all. It's going to turn out the way he said in this book. And he wrote it all down carefully. You can read it and know exactly what's going to happen. I've been reading through the Bible because I believe that I'll stand before Jesus very soon at my Moed. There's an appointed, not only an appointed day and an appointed hour, there's an appointed time when they're going to call my name. The Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, speaking of Christians. You will not be at the great white throne judgment. Jesus has gone through that for you. But you will be at the Bema judgment seat of Christ, and they will call your name. And I believe it's a responsibility now to live our lives like we're going to really be there. I know I'm going to really be there. And when I really go there, they're not going to call my mother and hold her responsible for my actions. And Shelley, I'm not going to be called up for you. You'll have to go on your own. And Terry, and Brenda, and Chip. All my four children, I tried my best to bring them up in the way that they should go so that they would not depart from it, because I'm very conscious that each one of my children is going to have to stand there. And your children are going to have to stand there. And your mother's child is going to have to stand there. And your mother doesn't get to stand for you there. Now, if you made it that far, you'll get in. But let's hope you don't have to go in saved as if by fire. Some will. The Bible says they will. But thank God it's a place of reward. And now we can live our lives so. If your whole life is spent on nothing but gaining material reward, then you're short-sighted, Peter says. So you must at least have a long plan a long-term plan for success. And that long-term plan for success must include eternity. For this life is just like the flower of a grass, God says. Just like a little flower. Just blooms and pink. Now, if you're going to follow flesh in this life, you're going to be very, very, very sorry one day. You're probably sorry now. But thank God you're still in the time of repenting, and you can get over such foolishness and gain reward for the future. I see many men in here, and men are kind of made by God to plan for their futures. And so you need to be planning for this one, standing before the Lord. And I know that I'm going to be standing before Him, and He probably will ask certain questions. Jesus was a good questioner. You notice that? They even asked Him a question, He answered them with a question. So if He stays true to form, He'll ask you some questions. And I'm wondering if one of them will be, have you read the text? This is the text. And I want to be able to say yes. So just to make sure, I started on a program of reading straight through. Because it's my favorite thing to study. And in studying, you don't read straight through. And so in doing that, I came across things I don't know that seemed like I hadn't noticed before. And in reading through the book of Isaiah, just straight through it, I found that God has a criteria for being God. He has a litmus test for being God. Scientists have all kinds of tests for things to see if this is really gold or fool's gold. And God has a test for, are you the real God or are you a false God? I went to a church recently and preached on false prophets. And they were a place that really believed in raising up prophets. And I got to checking in there about what God said about prophets and false prophets. And it made me want to, if anybody called me a prophet, made me want to punch them in the nose. Because I didn't want to have to go through that testing. God said, if you call yourself a prophet and you're a false prophet, He fights against you. So I'll just be a servant of the Lord. I don't want to take any fancy titles upon myself. But there is a litmus test for being God. And if you call yourself a God and you're not a God, a false God is one that's called a God and he's not a God. A false prophet is one who calls himself a prophet and he's not a prophet. So God has this test for, are you really God? He's the only one that passes the test. But it's a very interesting test. What would you think it would be? The criteria for being God. Just think a little bit before we look.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim. I hope you enjoyed the classic that you heard today. Call us at 1-800-972-3447 if you would like to have a copy of it on CD. Shalom, shalom.